Shaw here of JeanShawInterviews.com, and today I have the pleasure of chatting to Catherine Merrow, an author from Michigan. Now, I've never met Catherine, but she's in a Facebook group I'm a member of, and she always looks so happy. So I thought I'd invite her to chat and see what lies behind her beaming smile. So, Catherine, are you there?
I am.
Okay. So, can you tell me, please? Obviously, we've never met, only become aware of each other within the Facebook group. So can you tell me, how did you get started writing?
Well, I am a neuromuscular massage therapist, so that means I help people get out of pain. And bodies act in certain natural ways. But I realized that I was answering the same questions for people over and over and explaining to them why they hurt over and over. So at some point several years ago, I started to write natural pain relief websites. And that way I figured I could get my hands on more people at a time and help more people at a time. And then eventually I decided I would. Instead of making people seek all over the place for the specific articles that they needed, combine them into books and add additional information and sometimes charts when that's necessary. So that's how I started writing the Natural Pain Relief series that I'm currently working on.
So, how many books have you got in that Natural Pain Relief series?
The first one is published, and that's Head Pain, Natural Relief, Hip Pain. Is going to be published this week. It'll be out momentarily. And from then on, I'm just going to keep going through all the different kinds of pain people have, Jean, until nobody in the world has any more pain.
Oh, that's lovely. So, you're going to cure the world. That's absolutely fantastic.
Well, I'm going to
But
help
you.
people cure themselves.
That's it. But obviously, you don't just write about that because you're in a few other genres as well, aren't you?
I am. The natural pain relief is what people know me for. That's my reputation. I'm referred to as the pain relief coach online. But I also enjoy writing children's books. When my kids were little, of course I read to them over and over and over, and we read sometimes the same books over and over. I've still got the rhythm and the words ringing around in my head. So children's books is another a pleasure for me to write.
But you write those under a different pen name, don't you?
I do write them under a different pen name and also illustrate them.
Oh, you do them yourself, do you?
Yes, they're
Oh,
very
wow.
simple illustrations, but they are illustrations. However, my pen name is not hooked up to my name, and I understand that we're supposed to keep them separate just so that people don't get too confused. They might be wondering, why is this pain relief coach writing about children's books or perhaps even romance books, which is certainly not my specialty?
So that you outsource that, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. I just don't do them.
Oh, I see.
I do what I know.
Right. So you could actually, in that case, then you could really have your children's books under your own name because there is a reason why you write them, isn't it? You could be branding yourself, whereas the way that you've done it with a pen name, people don't associate the children's books with you.
Yes, that's true.
Or is it just that you'd thought that a pain relief coach wouldn't have the same credibility if she was writing children's books?
Well, that may be so, Jane. I have looked at what other authors are doing, and some of them cover many genres with their own name. And some of them are outsourcing so that they can include even more genres. And a lot of them are using a different pen name for every different type of book that they write. So I'm not sure what exactly is the best thing to do, but I'm having a lot of fun in both cases, both keeping my name out there as the pain relief coach and also keeping separately the children's books.
I think it's amazing that you're actually illustrating them yourself. So how do you do that? Do you draw them or
They
how?
are drawings. They are little simple drawings, and I make templates, and then I put them into the paint program on my computer and color them so that they'll be vivid. And as I'm drawing them, when the people in my drawings have expressions, I have to sit there and make the expression so that I know how the face will look. What does that big smile look like? What does that little unhappy face look like? What is the surprised face? And I had to figure out, how do I indicate that people are shaking their head from side to side with a no or a yes?
And sorry, and do you do that all in paint?
Well, I do the drawing with markers, and then I take it into paint and just do the vivid colors.
Where did you learn all your graphic skills?
I have no graphic skills. It's simply drawing a template that I then become happy with. I try a number of different little characters, different bodies, different heads, different sizes, different arms and legs. And when I found the one that I'm happy with, and then I thought, yes, I can create this over and over. I can do variations of the expressions, of the tilt of the body, of the arms and the legs or the hands, of the movements of the body. And then I can just color it in. And it really looks like art.
And this is a software, is it, that you create the template in?
Paint? No, I do it on paper, and then I scan it into Paint.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, paint.net. And then from paint.net, once it's colored, I save it again to my computer. And then I can name it. And when I'm doing the books, I go in and I pull up that particular picture because I make one for each little page or two.
That is really clever, actually. Well, it's extremely clever. So actually, for anybody who is self-publishing, which is what you are doing, it needn't be an expensive process needed, because a lot of people say, well, it's all very well writing the books, but it's the illustrations that cost the money. But the way you're doing it, it can be quite negligible, can't it?
It is, because the paint program I use, I believe it came free on my computer and the software that comes with it, but also paint.net is free, and they're pretty simple. I didn't know anything about it, but my son showed me how to pull up the colors, and in fact, he often does the colors for me. And in fact, he draws the animals a lot of times, because I do the people, he does the animals. So it's kind of a joint project.
Oh, that's lovely. So how old is your son?
Oh, he's grown.
Okay. But presumably, does he live close to you? Although it doesn't really matter these days with the internet, does it?
Well, he does live close to me because we have such a low-tech technique that we're using. And that's why I like bodies, and that's why I like helping people feel better, because bodies are really logical and low-tech. I'm always struggling with the technology, but as I learn these different things, once I learn it and do it several times, then I've got it. So he knew how to use the paint program to color in the shapes. So between us, we were able to draw them, scan them in with a little help from a friend, and then color them in, and then save them, and then I plug them into the books. The problem with people who want to become an author and want to become self-published, Jean, is that everybody's trying to sell us a program. And some of these programs are very expensive. And then additionally, they will like to sell us the training to use these expensive programs, and their training is sometimes very expensive. And that puts a big damper on things right off the bat.
Absolutely, especially when even when you've gone through the process of writing the book and getting it published, you've got no guarantee of sales, have you? So the marketing is the big thing, isn't it? So how do you market your books?
Both on Facebook and on my natural pain relief websites. Also on Twitter, I send out tweets. Also, I'm in the KDP Select program at the Kindle Amazon section. And so I've been doing the periodic free days. We're allowed to do 5 free giveaway days out of every 90 days. And that gets more eyes on our books, and sometimes it gets us more book reviews. I also belong to several authors groups at Facebook, and we help each other out with information. Like yesterday, I couldn't figure out exactly what I was doing wrong with my author's URL from Amazon. So I put in the question to a couple of the groups, and people responded and told me what the correct format is supposed to be. I had put it incorrectly in one of the books, so now I have to go back into the books, into the, that book, and fix it. However, one of the authors who had downloaded my book called that to my attention. She said, "Your link is not working." So that's kind of the benefits of belonging to the authors groups, too. We can get a lot of information. There are many people who are very highly technically skilled, and they're happy to help out the people who are not as skilled at this point. Also, sometimes we will review for each other. I have contacted people privately and said, "Hey, did you know you had a typo?" Or, "Hey, did you know this or that is not working?" You know, one thing I'd like to say to the authors who would like to write is to proofread. Proofread and proofread and proofread, and do it in various different formats so you're looking at different pages. Do it when you have your doc done or your docx. Do it again when it's a PDF. Do it again when you have submitted it to one of the sites. Order a proof of the book if you're ordering it from one of the print-on-demand companies like CreateSpace. Give it to other people who actually know how to spell and how to read, and have them proof it for you, because we want to be our best, and when there are typos or mistakes or links that don't work or pictures that don't correlate very well, then people will say, "Oh, this isn't such a good book," and they won't leave us a review, or they will leave us a poor review, or they won't recommend our book. Or they'll even start to read it part way and then get rid of it because it's just upsetting them or turning them off to see all of these errors.
That's really good advice. And the trouble is with when you write something and you're so involved in it, you tend to see what you expect to see, don't you?
Yes, and we can do that easily. We can look at all kinds of strange configurations of letters, but we know what it's supposed to say because we have smart brains. Mm. So that's what we do. That's why you put it away for a while. You come back to it. I always print out everything so that I can not only read it on the computer, but I can sit down and read it at the table and mark it up and correct things. And then I might hand it to my son or other adults and say, who I trust that they can spell and read, and say, "Would you please review this for me?" You can hire an editor. You can hire a proofreader. You can hire an illustrator. It's not very expensive to hire an illustrator for just one picture. You can get one for $5 or $10. But if you have a whole book full of pictures, all those $5 and $10 add up.
Absolutely. But what you've just explained is really phenomenal, especially if somebody is artistic. And even if you're not yourself, there's usually somebody in the family or a family friend who's quite artistic. I should imagine a lot of college people would be willing to draw a few images.
Yes.
If you could do it personally, because, well, not just could you could pay them a little bit of money, but the prestige as well. If they said, you know, my pictures are in the book that's in print.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Well, one man I know, his daughter is creating the cover art for his book. Another man told me that his whole family is involved in his books.
Wow. That's really good. Keep it in the family.
Yes. Yeah, well, they will all benefit.
It's certainly. And also, if everybody in the family is involved, it cuts down the time you need to produce them. So you could, depending on the storyline, how quickly you could think of a story and write a story, you could get a phenomenal amount of books up, selling at a low price, which if they all sold could be quite good residual income over time, couldn't it?
Yes, that's what I understand. Also, focus is such a part, Jean. And we always have lots of great ideas here, but it's, okay, write down the great idea. Let's throw in as much detail as we can think of, and then we're setting it aside. Because right now, there's a book that we're working on right now, and we have to get this one finished. So it's focus, focus, focus.
So do you have a notebook with you all the time? So when you get the great ideas, you...
Yes, and 3x5 cards.
Oh, right.
Because 3x5s easily go into my purse, and then when I get home, I can staple them into the notebook or tape them into the notebook. If we come up with a lot of detail, the notebook will have a page or two of notes just for a book that we're going to do in the future.
When you say we, are you talking about you and your son?
Me, my son, my husband. Sometimes we all come together with these different ideas. My husband has great ideas. He says, but I can't write, I can't spell, but he comes up with great ideas.
Well, that's lovely. That's really good. Because you often think of authors being in isolation, don't you? You hear of the really serious authors who go and shut themselves away in a room or somewhere for 3 months at a time and just emerge for food and drink and things. But you're sort of suggesting that it can be a family affair. And
oh, it can be a community affair. You might hear things anywhere that will click and say, that sounds like a book title. That sounds like an idea for a book. That sounds like something that's a good idea.
So do you prefer to write the children's books then to the practical how to cure yourself type books? I mean, obviously, they don't take quite as long, do they?
No, they don't. They don't take as long because there's not as much. They're playful. The children's books are playful. They're designed to be fun and funny and interesting and make a child laugh and make the grown-up who's reading with them laugh or smile. And I got a review from a child who was 8 years old on one of the books. And it was so cute because she said, she signed her name. I don't remember her name. It was maybe Joey, age 8. And she said, and it was so cute because the boy kept asking for all of these animals for nothing. Because he doesn't get them.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
He was asking for nothing. So that is sweet. And it's a lot of fun to write them. That's a play. It's like the difference between exercising and sitting down at a job. And the more things we do, the more synapses we use in our brains and the more things go on. So it's good to have those happy, fun experiences as long to have the experiences from the people who write from all over the world and say, you know, I'm not having, my headaches are gone. I'm not having headaches anymore. I can play tennis again. I haven't been able to play tennis in 20 years. The knot in my back is gone. I went to somebody who just bruised me and made it feel worse. And then I saw your article and I understood and I went to somebody else and now the knot's gone.
So do you have a physical practice as well?
I do.
As write your books, yeah. And is that close to where you live?
It is. It's only a few blocks away.
Oh, that's good.
Which makes it real nice because I don't have to drive long distances. So there's not much downtime. I can go right from working on the computer to working in the clinic, which is a really nice balance, Jean, because, you know, people get... Bodies get unhappy when people spend their whole day sitting at a desk or computer. Bodies like to move, and the type of work that I do gives me the opportunity to get in a lot of movement and use a lot of muscle. My doctor always says every year, are you doing any aerobic exercises? And every year I tell her, no, but I do a lot of massage. I know she doesn't understand what I do, so I just tell her I do massage several times a week, and she says, but are you doing any aerobic exercises? Because she does. She runs. You know, my body says, hey, man, running is not a good thing for you, but using my muscles is a good thing for me.
No, I would hate running, but I do the 7 minute exercise, which is one of the books that I've written about. And that's quite good because you can get in and out in 7 minutes, but you're building muscle as opposed to, straining yourself. It's
And that's
good.
excellent because anybody can take 7 minutes,
And so, and you only have to do it 3 times a week, which is even better.
which is even better.
Yeah, so that's one of my books out there, but that's under my name. I don't do pen names because all the things that I write about, there's some relevance to me, so I'm
And
that's the way.
I think those are the best books when people write from their experience. A lot of the books that I've picked up and read, they're pretty good, but there's something in them that I say, oh, this wasn't their experience. The books that I enjoy the most are the ones where people are speaking, this is how I got smart. I had pain and I started taking classes and I got into the field that I'm in. And then I discovered many of my instructors got into the field because they had pain and nobody was helping them with conventional medicine. And when I read a really good book that's based on someone's experience and how it helped them and how they feel better or what a difference it made in their life, those are good books.
Well, I'm sure you're very good at your job, your profession, because you've got a very calming voice as much as anything else. So if you've got the same calming hands as you have calming voice, it must be brilliant.
Oh, thank you. When my children were little, I just thought I was boring because my neighbor used to always fall asleep when I'd go and visit her. So much later, I discovered it was just my voice, my personality, and that I wasn't just boring.
No, you don't sound boring at all, and certainly from your books, you're definitely not boring. No, calming, I think, is the word. So when you've going back to your books, I know you do Kindle and I know you do CreateSpace, which is the physical paperback version, isn't it, of your
Yes.
books. Do you then go on to do any like iPub and books for the Nook and
I
the
am
other things?
going to. I am new enough into this that I had to start with one thing at a time. And as soon as, and I do have a plan, Jean, as soon as the KDP select times run out, then I will have the opportunity because they lock you right into Amazon with that.
For 90 days, isn't it?
As soon as that runs out on the various books, then I will start putting them up on one other, and it'll probably be Smashwords. And then after I become proficient at that, because every time we change and do something different, it's another learning experience. So now I know how to put them up myself on Kindle, and it's actually quite simple. Kindle KDP has all the instructions that you need if you just take your time and go slowly. And if there's something that you don't understand, like I didn't know how to make a zip file, I had to go to YouTube and look at videos, how to make a zip file, how to get my material in the zip file. And then I found out from KDP or from CreateSpace that if you put your book there first, because they are also Amazon, they will publish it directly to KDP for you. That means you don't need a zip file. They're going to do it for you because it's really easy to put your book into CreateSpace. It's easier, I think, than it is into the KDP.
Plus, also, if you put it into CreateSpace, you then could have a book cover, couldn't you? Because they do have their own book cover creator, don't they?
Yes, they do. They have templates. All you need to do is either pick some artwork from the photographs that they offer, which are free, or go over to some place like Dreamstime or one of the other royalty-free publishing sites and pick out the artwork that you want. And you have to make sure that it's royalty-free and make sure that you have the licenses to use it. Royalty-free does not mean free. It means it's going to cost you something, maybe $5, maybe $15. But that's about the only expense for the cover. There are places where you can find free, royalty free, But royalty free by itself does not mean free.
No, I think a few people have been caught out by that, haven't they? And to their cost, when
yes.
they thought it was royalty free and then had a warning letter to say that you owe me money or take it down because you've breached copyright.
Yes, because the photographer or artist who put their material up there for people to use royalty free meant that you have to pay them some type of fee for their copyright. And as long as you do that, you're okay. Dreamstime also has free art and photographs, but when I was looking for the hip book the other day, I did not find anything in the free segment that I thought was appropriate. So I ended up paying, I think, about $15 for the art that I'm using on the CreateSpace book, and then that will, this time I'm going to let them publish to Kindle for me. And if I don't like the result, that's fine. I can alter it at Kindle KDP. And if I like the result, then I have just saved myself another step.
Talking about saving yourself steps with Smashwords as well, because that is quite a difficult way of formatting. Because if you submit your books to Smashwords, they will submit your book to various different types of outlets. So the actual formatting is really quite specific. But an easy way to do it is, have you heard of the site Fiverr.com?
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you go on there, there are people who will submit your or format your book for Smashwords for $5. So it's worthwhile going there, spending $5, getting them to do it, and then that way you're more likely to get it through what they call the meat grinder.
That so, is excellent, because if they do it and it takes them a few minutes, and if I do it and it takes me a few days.
Well, I don't know that it would take them a few minutes, but certainly it would take them $5 worth of of money, whereas your time, I'm sure, I know my time, the time it would, it's taken me when I've tried to format my books for Smashwords is worth a lot more to me than $5. So.
Well, that's excellent advice.
Yeah, so that's something to think about. So what advice would you have for anybody who decides they might want to write a book? Just go for it?
You know what? Years and years ago, I said to a friend, I would like to be an author. I would really like to be an author. I would like to be a published author. And he said, then you have to write a book. And I thought, yes, of course. That makes sense. I can't just talk about it if I want to be an author. I have to take action. And so actually, it is so nice now for authors to write books, Jean, because about 18 years ago, I wrote a book, and you didn't have all these nice computer programs to use then. I ended up self-publishing, which is what I wanted to do, but I ended up with 1,000 copies, hard copies of this book sitting in my basement, and these boxes are a bear to move. They're heavy.
Have you still got them then?
I have still got about 800 of the 1,000.
All right.
You know, my husband says they're very useful for things like leveling tables.
Oh, dear. And was that on in the field of helping people to remove pain, or was that on totally different subject?
Actually, that one, and I've redone it, and now it's a Kindle book and a CreateSpace book, was how to help. No, I didn't do that one on CreateSpace because it's perfectly fine as a Kindle book. For massage therapists and body workers to be able to get business so that they could have a business and stay in business, because it doesn't matter how good they are if nobody knows they're out there. So it's a marketing and customer service book, which is really, it's useful for any small business person who deals with the public. But that one is under my own name also.
So is that still relevant today as it was?
Yes, the only things that have changed, and I go into it a little bit, the only things that have changed is now that people can have an online marketing campaign if they wish. And a lot of the younger people who go into the massage and bodywork field come out of school already being familiar with technology, internet technology. Not marketing necessarily, but they know how to use computers. A lot of the older folks who go to those schools now, those massage schools, they don't have a clue how to use a computer. So it turns out that with massage or bodywork techniques, the best exposure you can get is when people see you working, for instance, at an event, or experience what it feels like, again, at an event. Maybe it's at a cancer walk. Maybe it's at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. Maybe it's some other type of fundraiser. And when they see you, they get to talk to you. They see your smiley face. They understand how your hands feel or what a massage feels like or what this kind of touch that you're doing feels like. That turns out to be the sale. So once you've got your connection to that person and now they're in your office, in your spa or in your clinic or wherever the person practices, then you have to know how to treat them so that they want to come back. Because customer service is not something we learn in school either. And if you go to various businesses, you might not be learning anything about customer service there either. But I was very fortunate in my past careers that I worked for people who were excellent at providing customer service, whether it was for staff or for clients or customers or businesses who needed their help. And I learned from them and I paid attention to that, to them. What we can do when somebody's showing us a good example, we have two choices. One is we can say, what do they know? Or we can say, wow, they know a lot. Maybe I should learn from this person. Now, one time I was at a casino, though, with my friend, and she said, we should stay at this table and keep watching those guys because they're putting down a lot of money. They were. They kept taking out $100 bills and putting them on the table. However, they kept taking out $100 bills. I didn't see them any putting back in their pockets. So I decided that those were not the people to watch.
No, absolutely. If you want to be successful, you have to model the people who are successful in whatever you want to do, don't you?
Yes.
So you presumably got into this particular field of writing through Jay Boyer and John Rhodes, was it?
No, not initially. I did take classes from them, and I think there's something coming up later today that I will be at. So I did take classes from them, and I do listen, and then I filter, and then I pick the best information out. I have spent enough money already getting into the field of internet marketing with my websites that I don't feel a need to spend a lot of money anymore. There's a point where you have to say, do I already have this information? Have I already learned this? Is this filed away somewhere in my computer, or in my case, in a paper file, because I like paper? And maybe I just have to go back and review that again.
Yeah, this is it. You can buy all these courses, but unless you take action on them, then they're not worth anything, are they?
And I think you have to decide on one guru that you're going to follow, one person who then, instead of jumping from, oh, this is good program, this is good program, that's a great program, that's a great program, then we just get confused because everybody has different methods and techniques. And they're even using different technology and they're recommending different programs. So if you find someone who resonates with you, just use their information and use their direction that they're pointing you in. And that makes it very much easier.
Well, clearly it's working for you because you're getting quite a few books up there and you're getting good reviews and your happy little smiling face is being seen. Place. So,
do you know an interesting thing that I just noticed yesterday, Jean, is my soft cover books are outselling the Kindle books.
I think a lot of people like to have something in their hands that they can pick up anytime, anywhere. And I personally don't like reading on the computer. I'm like you, I print everything off. So I'm soon going to need a bigger house, actually, because everything is in files and things.
My mother had so many books. When my mother died, she had thousands of books, and I donated most of them to the local libraries. They house them for me, they dust them for me. I can go and visit them and read them. But I asked her at one point, which room are you going to turn into your library? And she said, oh no, I'm not just going to have one room for a library. I want to have a library in every room.
Oh, bless her. That's lovely. So, with all your books, you'll soon be able to have your own library, won't you?
Well, I would like to have my library just filled with my own books. You are right.
Well, the way you're going, you and your family, I'm sure that won't be much longer. If I revisit you in a year's time, you'll probably have your own library at home and in the town where you live, village where you live as well.
And a lot of people too take their CreateSpace books or their Kindle books over to their local library, who they already have a relationship with, and end up the library buys their either their electronic version, the Kindle version, and you get a commission for it, and it's a bigger commission because they buy it on a different type of license, or they buy the CreateSpace books to put in their own library. So that's another very good idea. Now that we're talking about libraries.
So, is that what you've done?
I haven't yet, but I'm gonna.
That is a very good idea, actually. I will have to get some and take mine to my local library as well.
That's one of the things I saw one of the authors doing, and she was doing it very successfully because she already had a relationship with her local library, and as she takes in her books, they buy them to put on the shelf, and they buy them because a lot of libraries now also supply electronic books to their patrons.
I think also you, if you took them in and donated them, once they're in the system, other people can borrow them, can't they? And then you get paid every time somebody borrows your book, don't you?
The electronic book. Either you get paid every time they borrow it, but I understand that the libraries have to pay something in the neighborhood of $40, which is about if your book is selling for $3 normally on Kindle and the libraries have to buy it for $40, your commission is considerably better.
Gosh, that sounds good. Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I'm about to go to sleep now. Your voice has been so calm.
Just like having a massage, Jean.
It's lovely. Yeah, it's really relaxing. Actually, I love going to the hairdressers when they play with your hair. I find that very relaxing.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons people get manicures and pedicures and even their hair done is so that they can be touched, because touch is so important.
Absolutely. I think that's what makes some old people really sad and perhaps grumpier as they get older, especially if they lose their partner because they don't get that physical contact. Do you
And
think?
our skin is the largest organ in our body, and it's just loaded with these touch receptors which go straight to our brain. And you are correct, if we don't get touched, that's why people have pets. And the pets don't wait to be petted. They don't sit in a corner and say, man, I sure wish somebody'd come and pet me. Instead, what do? They curl around your legs and they hop on your lap and they get in your way because they know it's important to be petted, and that's their job. And that's why, even for older people, as you mentioned, when they have a pet, petting something gives you that tactile stimulation of your skin on your hands. So you're getting some of the benefit of massage, even when you massage somebody else, or when you pet your cat or dog or pet rat or whatever you've got. It doesn't work so well with fish. But
Or a snake, I would imagine. So, Catherine, I'm going to let you go now in case you've got another book on the go. So, how can the listeners find you now that you've sorted out your Amazon profile?
they can find me. The easiest way at Amazon is if they type in head pain natural relief, or even natural head pain relief. They will find that book, and then they will find me from there. My name is spelled KathryneMerrow, Catherine Merrow, and at KatherineMerrow.com, they can find links to all of my pain relief sites and all of my books.
Does that include your children's books?
Except for my children's books.
Oh, that's a shame. So what is your pen name for your children's books?
The pen name is Paulie, Paulie, Merroux. Merrow, Paulie, Merrioux.
How did you come up with that pen name?
To my understanding, that spelling is a French for Merrow.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of your surname. Yes. That, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Catherine.
Jean, the pleasure was mine.
I will look forward to seeing your next book.
Thank you very much.
You take care.
Thank you, and you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.